Hello, this is your host, Vanti Bridges, and you are listening to Voices for Change. Umande Trust, along with other partner organizations, has developed their Stop Sex for Water campaign, which provides resources and support to victims of water-related sexual exploitation, as well as community initiatives. And with that, an integral part of this project is community involvement, which can be seen through champions. Umande Trust has selected and trained 10 champions to become advocates of victims of sexual abuse and promote participation of women in WASH service decision making. These champions are members of the community who know their community best. Their roles can range widely, but ultimately aim to empower, support, and educate. Today, you will be meeting some of these champions and learn more about their individual experiences and perspectives.
Thank you for wanting to be on the podcast. We really appreciate it. Today, we have Faith Muyuka and Daniel Ocheng of Umande Trust, and they are champions of Umande Trust. So, to start off, I would like to ask the both of you what has led you to become an Umande Trust champion. So whether that be an experience or maybe you encountered somebody who is also going to be a champion, what led you to become one?
Hello, can you hear me? This is Da Qing. I'm one of the champions working for Umande Trust. And the reason I thought I should become one of the champions for Umande Trust is that I saw the need to come in and give my support. I saw the need to come in and try to create awareness in my community, especially among men, on issues affecting the young women and adolescent girls with regards to sexual harassment around the WASH facilities. I live among a people that need day-to-day interactions with when it comes to issues surrounding the girl child and young women on sexual reproduction, more specifically, issues around sexual harassment. So I also work in a school with young girls, adolescent girls that is, and we hear of a lot of cases almost every week where the adolescent girls are facing sexual abuses. They're facing sexual harassment within the community, especially around the WASH facilities. And so I saw the need to come in and be a champion, a person who would speak on behalf of the girls and young women. I saw the need to come in and be able to create opportunities for the young girls and young women to interact with information around sexual harassment within the WASH facilities. I saw the need to come in and act as the voice that will speak on behalf of the young women and the girls to be able to shout out, create awareness, link the young women and the girls to the service providing agencies and organizations, one of them being Umande Trust, so that these young women and girls should actually know that in case cases within the community affecting them around sexual harassment within the water points, then they should actually know where to go to or who to contact. I also act as a link between Umande and the community, creating the platform for the young girls to talk freely and share information on issues affecting them around sexual reproduction, to be more specific, in to do with sexual harassment around water points. I also feel that there's need for a champion coming from the very community of the informal settlements, being able to talk or reaching out to the water vendors within the community and the people managing the organizations, managing the ablution blocks or the wash facilities within the community, and be able to bring it to the attention that they are within their facilities that are actually degrading the society, degrading the right, causing disturbance among the young women.
That was really great. I like how you shared your experience as being a teacher and also seeing this as a member of the community. So just to reiterate, Faith, what has led you to become Lumonde Trust Champion, whether that be your past experiences or anything of that sort?
The reason I wanted to be a champion with Lumonde was because, like, I'm still young. Like, I've grown up in the informal settlement in Kibra. I've seen all these young girls, what they pass through, and the violence, the gender-based violence around wash facilities is real. It's happening, and it's actually been normalized by some people. Some girls think that they play a part in encouraging the young men to harass them. They think it's actually normal, like something normal. So I think the WASH project, it provides a chance for them to be able to open out and for them to be able to know, like, no, that's not the way. They have a right to access water that is safe for them without being harassed sexually.
Yeah, that's great. I think being able to draw on what you see and what, you know, like, you grew up in this community, and also with the normalization of sexual harassment, I totally get how, you know, like, these can inspire you to become a champion. And as both of you had mentioned WASH facilities, for our listeners who don't know, maybe one of you, Faith, could talk about what WASH facilities are and how maybe talking about them and what they are ties into the training process of becoming an Lumonde Trust Champion.
Can I say something?
Of course, yes.
Yeah. We are living in an informal settlement because Kibra is one of the informal settlements that we have in Nairobi. Actually, in Africa, it's now rated to be the largest. So there is poor planning within Kibra as a community. The population is so huge. And therefore, there are some facilities that people share, because most of the structures are shanty structures without water inside the houses and without toilet facilities within the same houses. So people share these facilities. So people have to go out of their houses to fetch water. People have to go out of their houses to find the bathroom, and people have to go out of their houses to find the toilet facilities. There are places where people pay a little amount in order to use the facilities. What usually happens is whenever people go out to fetch water or even use the bathrooms, because of scarcity, there are usually huge lines and huge queues that you'll see around the water points, around the ablution blocks. So wash simply means water and sanitation hygiene, which is one of the very teething issues within the informal settlements of Kibra. So some of the people, or rather some of these wash facilities, are being manned by either an individual or a group of people. In most cases, there are men that own these water points or even the ablution blocks. And as we all know, that this is a need, and everybody must use the wash facility at some point. That is the toilets, and even buy water. People have to engage with this at some point in life. Some people take advantage. So when women go to fetch water, and because it is the man who is either manning or owning, some of these men have been taking advantage in that. A woman comes and a woman wants to fetch water, and probably there's a very long queue. And this woman wants to fetch so much water and at the same time wants to go to work, or has to go looking for work, or has to go fending for the family. Sometimes there is not enough time for this woman to stay and wait. So she will talk to the man who is in charge of the water point to take the jerry cans or the containers full of water to the woman's house. And in most cases, what happens is when this man offers this kind of services, they at some point don't ask for payment in terms of cash. Sometimes they ask for payment in terms of sex. And there are women who have found this to be really absurd. So that's one of the things that actually happen around the water points that we call the wash facility. Sometimes when women visit the ablution blocks and they have to change their sanitary towels, so they have to take a bath, or they have to use the toilet facility, there are places where you'll find some group of young men just sitting and idling around the ablution block. And the kind of comments they give or they say about the woman before the woman enters, or even after the woman has used the ablution block, are very weird kind of comments which they make. These are only some of the examples of the gender-based violence and sexual harassment cases that happen around the wash facilities in Kibra. There are many other cases. The bathrooms are also shared, and the kind of bathrooms that we have here are not so much enclosed. They've got some gaps in spaces because they are poorly done, actually. This is the time you find people walking around and someone wants to peep and see what is actually happening in the bathroom. Women have found this to be really, really absurd, and a lot of people are so much unease with this. And therefore, I, as Daniel Ochieng, realized that as a man, there's need for bringing the male voice into the conversation so that we see how to very fast help the situation within our environments. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was a great description of what wash facilities are and what happens or can happen at wash facilities to young girls and women. So I was wondering, when these sexual gender-based violence happens, what do champions do? Like, how do they step in?
Thank you so much. What happens when we hear a case or when cases are reported? Number one, we encourage the people who are abused to speak about it, to talk about it. We try and create a platform for them to report these cases to the relevant authorities and persons. Some of them feel ashamed to discuss because of stigma. And this is where we come in to talk to them and encourage them and tell them that we know of safe spaces where they can discuss these issues without being victimized. And this is where we refer them to Umande Trust Safe Facilities, where they'll find someone to talk to and they'll be able to get adequate services or linkages that will bring them help. Thank you.
That was such a great answer. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and all of your knowledge. Faith, I was wondering if you have seen any positive impact in the community since this project has started.
Yeah, okay, since the project started, yeah, I've seen some positive changes because nearby, like from where we live, there is like a water point around. So I went and had a chat with the water vendor, and before they used, like the water point used to be a social joint. So there used to be boys gathering around. So you see, when these boys gather around, when you go to fetch water, like as a young girl, when they make sexual comments at you, you feel somehow demeaned. So since I talked to him, the water vendor, like he told the boys not to be sitting around the water point. So right now, at least the girls, they can access the water free without feeling demeaned in any way. Yeah, and I've also seen a positive impact because like the girls that I've been able to talk to in the safe spaces, some of them, they have opened up and they've said, yes, we've seen this happening. And some of them, they're like, okay, so right now we know what we're supposed to do. Even we can help a friend out. We know where to seek for help. At least there is that knowledge. At least now they have the knowledge of what they can be able to do. Like they can't, they'll be able to stand out for themselves in case something like that happens to them. They won't just be able to suffer alone. Yeah, thank you.
That's great. I think Champions being a resource for the community is absolutely amazing. And speaking of community, I guess this question is posed at both of you. What do you think that the role of different individuals of the community is in ending Sex for Water?
I wanted to make the first comment.
Yes, sure.
I have a feeling that every member of the community has a social responsibility towards their neighbor. I also have a feeling that each and every person in the community needs to provide protection to their neighbor. And therefore, I have a feeling that when everybody is reached with information about gender-based violence, sexual harassment cases, and sexual abuses within the WASH facilities, then I want to believe that we are going to reduce the cases that are being reported or are being seen every day. So our role as individuals in the community is to reduce the cases of gender-based violence around the WASH facilities. Our role is to create awareness among ourselves within the neighborhood, just to make sure that the girl child and the young women are safe. our role is to come out and speak about it, discuss it, and raise it as an awareness campaign within the community so that we actually see, if not total reduction, then significant reduction in the cases that are being reported every single day. Thank you.
Yes, I think that's extremely important. And as you were saying about protecting your neighbors, I think that's extremely important, especially right now. Faith, do you have anything to add?
Oh, for me, I think everyone has a role in ending the thirst for water, because these same young girls that are being, young girls and young women that are being harassed, they're the same ones will be the young mothers of tomorrow. They'll also have sons and daughters. So the moment we abuse them, we pass the trauma on to the next generation. So I think each of us, like, if we have the right information, I think everyone will be able to stand out for what is right. Everyone will be able to know where to seek for help, where to get justice, and yeah, in the end the whole thing. And if not end it completely, at least reduce it. Thank you.
Yeah, I really resonate with that, especially with the sort of intergenerational trauma that can come out of sexual abuse, and also being able to bring justice to sex for water and sexual gender-based violence. Fontai, I believe that you have a question.
Yeah, I have a question for Daniel. This kind of goes back with the community. How do we include men and boys in the conversation of gender-based violence and ending sex for water? I know that, I think depending on who you're talking to, you kind of change what you say, how you communicate with them. And I think that educating the youth, especially men and boys who are gonna be like the next generation, is really important. So how do we include them? How do we make them care about these issues? Because I know that it is kind of going against like social stigmas and stuff.
Thank you so much. I still feel strongly that men and young boys need to be involved in the conversation around ending sex for water, because we come from a community, or let me say that in the African setup, men are the custodians of leadership in the community. And a lot of times, men hold significant positions in decision-making when it comes to community agenda, factors affecting the community. It could be security, it could be food, it could be economy. Men have a significant role to play. And therefore, I have a feeling that we do not need to leave men and young boys out, because a lot of times, they are the perpetrators. We need to also find out from them, what is it that goes through their minds when they are doing this? We need to find out from them, why is it that they have to do this? Because there are cases of poor social upbringing, there are cases of poor moral impartation from one generation to another. There are cases where there are poor social structures in the community that sometimes leave boys behind in terms of information. And so they may not really know that this is an absurdity in the community. So my feeling is that we need to bring in boys, we need to bring in men, we need to bring in the aged men, so that they see that they have a role in providing security and protection to their girls, to their women, to their mothers. We need to make them aware that this is not the way to go and that the law is against this. We need to bring them in so that they also become champions of change within the society. When they are reached with information, when they are involved in decision making, of course, when you're talking about issues to do with sexual reproduction health, issues to do with gender-based violence, issues to do with sexual harassment, then we'll be able to know where the problem is and why these things are being recorded or being seen in the community. When we move along with them in terms of information dissemination, then we believe that you're having everyone else on board, so that they also learn to air their problems. They also learn to air their grievances. They also learn to communicate the issues that are biting within their hearts, so that women don't get abused, so that we don't talk evil about young women when they go to fetch water, when they visit the ablution blocks. Men need to be informed that even they themselves have a role to play. So we do not need to leave them behind. We need to walk along with them, of course, through providing information, creating awareness among them, reaching out to the youth groups, and mobilizing young men and women, so that we have a common platform for all of us to discuss. Thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely. I think that this issue is more than just sex. I think it's like a symptom of just, I guess, normalization and other things in the community. But I guess, could you share maybe your experience on the responses that you've had, especially like talking with the men in the community about this? Have they been very open-minded, or is it kind of hard to convince them or educate them on these topics?
Thank you so much. Allow me to mention two things. Number one is a lot of our young boys in the community are very idle. A lot of them idle, and that's why they find themselves doing drugs. That's why they find themselves sitting around the ablution blocks, just talking the whole day, while their sisters are at home doing the house chores. The boys and brothers are outside either playing football or idling around. The kind of responses that we've got is that we haven't talked to a bigger percentage of the men in the community, but the few people that we've talked with, especially the men managing the water points, they have become very positive. They were able to listen to us. And I was so surprised that some of them actually looked at the issues around sex for water or issues around gender-based violence around wash facilities just as a normal thing, as a way of passing time out. But when we talked to them, then they realized that, so this thing is actually a social problem. So we have seen some men, especially those who are managing the water points, beginning to have a conversation with the people they leave in charge to sell water on their behalf, and the people they leave in charge of the ablution blocks, and there's some kind of sanity that is coming into the minds of men slowly. But again, as I would report to you, that the community is so huge, and for us to be able to make a significant impact, it will take us some significant time. But the response that we're getting from a majority of them is very positive. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
So sort of going off of that, Faith, what would you say, think for a moment. So Faith, in sort of that aspect, how would having a conversation with women and girls about sex, gender-based violence, and sex for water maybe be similar or different to talking about those topics to men or boys? So in sort of talking about how to have a conversation with men and boys about sex, gender-based violence, how would having a conversation about it with girls or women be similar or different?
Well, having a conversation with girls and women, it will be different because you see these girls, okay, they're like the victims. They are the victims of the harassment. So they are more open to talk about it, to want to end it more than men. Like mostly men, most men like to have like normalized it. They see it as normal. And after all, not okay, some of them, they are victims of the harassment, but the majority, they are the young girls and the young women. So the young women, they'll be able, they are more open, they are more willing to talk about it. The best way to get to the men is through the men. And the best way to get to the ladies, it's through the other ladies.
Okay, thank you. And so to sort of end on, you know, a positive note, this is a question for both of you. If you were to have any superpower, like maybe it's invisibility or something like that, what would it be?
Oh, I could make men stop being.
And for you, Daniel, what superpower would you have?
If I had powers to change the heart of man, that would be such a brilliant and great thing for me. Because it is in the heart where issues of life come from. It is in the heart where people keep secrets. It is in the heart where people hide information. It is in the heart where people hide habits. The thing that one is going to do next in life is only known in his heart. So if I knew that, I know I would be in a position to stop men from harassing women and stop gender-based violence. Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much. And thank you both for being open to doing the podcast today. We really appreciate your time and we really appreciate you being here and being able to answer our questions.
Welcome. And thank you so much for having us too.
Thank you so much for joining us. We can't wait to see all the work that you do in the future. And we're so grateful to have you working with Umani Trust. And just thank you so much for all of your time and effort with this.